This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That number is 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
And Johnson.
And Ian.
And we just riled up some people. We're hoping that we riled up some people with Ian's last invitation for people to call in and tell us about their rape experiences.
Well, I didn't intend to be too flippant about that, although it did come off as that way. Obviously this is a serious topic, but some of us on the show tonight haven't been taking very seriously the supposed statistics about this. There are statistics saying that 5 or 6% of women in the United States claim their first sexual experience was rape. Also that upwards of 1 out of 5, or therefore 20% or so, women in their lifetime say that they have been the victims of rape. And Aria, you said that you would be shocked if that were true, as in that seems too high to you. And so that's why I kind of left the last hour with that statement. But before we go to the calls, I did say I had some statistics
that's
on male
Absolutely.
Victim rape, meaning the man is the victim, at least according to Wikipedia, which, you know, they cite their sources here. There's, of course, male-on-male rape and then also female-on-male rape, so they look at two different categories here. They say that male-on-male rape has been heavily stigmatized. According to psychologist Sarah Crome, fewer than 1 in 10 male-male rapes are reported. As a group, male rape victims reported a lack of services and support, and legal systems are often ill-equipped to deal with this type of crime. Several studies argue that male-male prisoner rape, as well as female-female prisoner rape, are common types of rape which go unreported, even more frequently than rape in the general population. The rape of men by men has been documented as a weapon of terror in warfare. In the case of the Syrian civil war, the male detainees experienced sexual abuse, such as being forced to sit on broken glass bottles, and getting their genitals tied to a heavy bag of water, or being forced to watch the rape of another detainee by the officials.
Wait, so essentially what you've just said is that 10% of men are raped.
No.
No.
They said that fewer than 1 in 10 of the rapes are reported. They do not claim to know how many of the actual rapes happen. So of whatever the statistic is, they think it could be 10 times higher than what it actually is. And then with female-on-male rape, they say it's under-researched compared to other forms of sexual violence. Statistics on the prevalence of female-on-male sexual violence vary. One study found 23.4% of women, so that's in line with your 1 out of 5, or close to it, one, more like 1 out of 4, but and 10.5% of men reported they were raped, while 6.6% of women and 10.5% of men reported they were victims of attempted rape. A 2010 through 2012 study by the CDC found that 1 in 17 men, or just about 6% of them, reported being made to penetrate at some point in their lives.
Okay, so the statistics that I have here says that 1 in 5 women will, you know, in their lifetime will be raped, and that 1 in 71 men will be raped in their lifetime. Now, if you are correct about the statistic for men being 10 times higher because of its being underreported, then that would mean that 1 in 5 women and 1 in 7 men.
Well, that would presume that that was all male-on-male rape.
No, it just says will be raped at some point in their lives.
But the 1 in 10 was only male-male rapes.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. They're claiming here that one study claimed it was 10.5% of men reported a rape in their lifetime.
I don't know how many men who are raped by women are going to report that.
Well, that's another thing, is like how underreported. But then again, females being raped by men are also supposedly unreported as well. So who knows what the actual numbers are of these things?
Just some more statistics, just because they're kind of interesting. 46.4% of lesbians, 74.9% of bisexual women and 43.3% of heterosexual women reported sexual violence other than rape occurring during their lifetime, while 40.2% of gay men, 47.4% of bisexual men, and 20.8% of heterosexual men reported sexual violence other than rape during their lifetimes. So that would be 1 in 5 heterosexual men who have experienced. So that would be an equal statistic, at least for sexual violence. So
I mean, maybe it's because I'm not crazy, so I tend to not. I know, relative, right? So I tend to not date people who are psychotic and violent. But my experience with having sex does not in any way substantiate those numbers. I'm not saying it's not.
But you're just a case study.
Exactly.
A little bit more here. The surveys.
I mean, where are all of these female-on-male rapists? Where are all of these bisexual rapists? Where are all these male rapists hiding at? You would think by this point, simply by the numbers, I would have run into one of these people on accident.
Well, I hope it's not your next one there, Aria.
Well, I mean, it goes on. Okay, so 91% of victims of rape and sexual assault, according to this, are female. 9% are male. In 8 out of 10 cases of rape, the victim knew the person who sexually assaulted them. And 8% of rape cases occur while the victim is at work.
8 out of 10 is really, you know, the 8 out of 10 knowing, that's a really interesting statistic because it sort of, it suggests that you're not that likely to be, you know,
just
grabbed off the streets,
you
know, assaulted in some dark alleyway or whatever. It's more likely going to be the uncle or the boyfriend or the, you know, somebody that you trust. Or the aunt. A little bit more. Surveys found that male victims often reported only female perpetrators in instances of only being made to penetrate among male victims who were raped by being penetrated. 86.5% reported only male perpetrators. A 2008 study of 98 men interviewed, which is not a large sample, the U.S. National Crime Victimization Survey found that nearly half of the men who reported some form of sexual victimization were victimized by women. So, I mean, it's just, it's really hard to get a real understanding of what the reality of this situation is, because there's such a wide differentiation in what people define as rape, and then, you know, how much of it's actually reported and tracked and all that. It's tough. We do have a caller, though.
We do, but she dropped from the Amazon line, and it appears to be dropping people randomly. I recommend that she use one of the normal on-air call-in lines, and I don't think she has. Oh, she has indeed. You are correct.
Don't think there's any difference between the reliability of one line versus another.
Well, she did get kicked twice from the amp-only line. Anyway, Pachinitarian, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys.
The perfect caller for this conversation.
I actually had a quick complaint I was going to do about David from New Mexico, but when Ian said, hey, guys, tell me about your rape, I felt like I had to call in.
All right.
My first sexual experience was rape. It was my dad's stepfather, and it happened to my two aunts as well, and I was young. I was under 10. And
so this is like basically your step-grandfather, essentially?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's not pleasant. It's not a great topic of conversation. But because people don't talk about it, it sort of made me want to be more open so that, you know, maybe it'll help other people out there.
Yeah, thank you for that. And, you know, try to keep it as radio friendly as you possibly can. You said you were under the age of 10?
Yeah, I was 5 when it first happened.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I was pretty young. But he did it to my dad and my two aunts. So all within one family, that's 4 of us right there. So as far as the statistics go, I think...
Hold on. Before you even go any further than this, I mean, how your father, and maybe you can speak to this, but how could... If this happened to your dad, how could he have let you be around this guy?
Yeah, that's part of the family. It's, you know, everybody's got their family problems, and I honestly, my life outside of that incident is very well, so I don't want to complain too much, but I blame, like, him, you know, it happening to him when he was a kid, and it just messed him up, and I was lucky that it didn't mess me up as much as it did him. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's tragic to hear. I mean, if somebody had put a bullet in him the first time that he attempted to rape him, there'd be significantly fewer victims in the world.
It sounds also like
it would be.
It's a small amount. This might lend credence to a sort of a smaller amount of people that generated a larger number of victims.
Can we keep Vaginitarian? Can you stay with us to talk a little bit more if you feel comfortable with it about this? I want to know what happened to this guy.
It would definitely be good to know that, you know, this person ultimately got what was coming to them. Either he attempted to rape the wrong person or what have you. But, yeah, Johnson, that's an excellent point. These numbers could be skewed because, you know, one rapist rapes 10 women.
Living in a more free society isn't going to help you much if your life isn't free. If you're stuck at a job, business, or relationship where you are not free, what good is a free society to you? You can live a more free life. I'm Caleb Jones, and my staff and I have taught hundreds of thousands of men how to create low-work, high-income, location-independent businesses, and how to date women under your terms. Go to freelifeinfo.com to download 7 free books and podcasts so you can live a life like this too.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
Warning, this is a privacy alert. You are being spied on right now, as I speak, by your phone. If you want this to stop, visit GoDarkBags.com, and we'll show you how elite military units protect themselves, and how you can too. GoDarkBags are lab-tested and guaranteed for life. Visit GoDarkBags.com now, and enter discount code FTL to save 15%. That's GoDarkBags.com, discount code FTL. Your privacy depends on it. End transmission.
I can definitely say that I have found the best cryptocurrency wallet. Certainly the best named one. I'm Mark Edge, and I love the Edge wallet. I've been using it for the last few months. You can buy, sell, trade, and hold your cryptocurrency securely. I trust my holdings of all the major cryptocurrencies to Edge wallet, and you should too. No long phrases to memorize, just a username and password. Secure your freedom with Edge wallet. Get it now on Apple or Android in the App Store or at edge.app.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk radio that you control. Call in and talk about whatever you would like. That number is 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
And Johnson.
And Ian.
And we've been talking about rape statistics and how they are skewed by rapes being underreported, and then further skewed by the fact that, well, there doesn't seem to be a lot of agreement among people about what is and isn't rape.
Mm.
I think the agreement that we have here in the studio is, you know, going to be the sensible one, that it's forceful sexual encounters that are non-consensual, right?
But I think we've agreed on that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't seem to be how everyone portrays it. I mean, some people, as we talked about earlier, go as far as saying things like statutory rape. They weren't old enough, therefore it's rape. Count as legitimate rapes. But we've got Vagina Tarian on the line with us now, who says that she was, in fact, raped. And
by
it's not
a family member, so the same statistic that 8 out of 10 rapes being somebody that you know rather than a stranger. In her case, it was her step-grandfather, the father of her stepfather, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, the stepfather of my dad. But yeah.
Stepfather of your actual dad. Okay, got it. Sorry.
Yeah. So he wasn't blood, but yeah, he's still a family member. I grew up knowing him as grandfather, and so it's definitely situations like that, I think, that are the most common and also lead to why it isn't reported. And I mean, it's, obviously, it's a difficult conversation, and it's very uncomfortable for people to talk about. So,
how many years did this go on? You said it started when you were just 5 years old.
Yeah, and it went until I was about 8 or 9, and then I have 2 younger sisters, so that's when I turned him in, was when I was getting older.
Oh, good for you.
yeah, I didn't want that happening to my sisters, and so I turned him in, and everything kind of went, I guess you could say, well, like the cops did their job. My family did their job. My mom took care of me. But instead of going to jail, my grandfather ran away and then killed himself.
Wow.
Yeah. He did not hold himself accountable for his actions. And that was sort of like my first lesson as a child on responsibility. And so I took more good out of that than bad.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing that he killed himself. At least in that case, none of us were forced to pay to feed and clothe and house this scumbag, this, you know, abuser. Did your dad ever address this? Because you had said in our last segment that your dad was also his victim when presumably he was a child. Did he ever say, whoops, sorry, daughter, should have told you not to be alone with this guy.
Yeah. Not really. In the previous segment,
the issue that's going to cause somebody to dump out of a chat, one of our call-in lines. It sounds like there's a connections issue. And according to our Discord, it's given us a green light. So it's not saying that we have the problem, but it may still be our problem.
Certainly.
So apologies about that, Vaginitarian. We started losing your audio there.
You can actually fix that mid-conversation. I don't know if you know how to do that.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah, later.
You can switch servers.
You can switch Discord servers?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how you do that. Yeah, definitely show me off.
Well, the LRN Studio still only has like the one Discord server, and it's Discord app. So-called.
But you're saying we can switch.
No, there are like 4 different ones. There are 4 different locations, like north, east, southwest, central.
Is this something that each user can also switch, or only the server administrator?
I think only the server administrator.
All right, show me later for sure. That's interesting.
Well, getting back to the general.
Thank you for the call, by the way. I'm sure that's not an easy thing to talk about. This do not sound like good memories in any way, shape, or form, and I'm sorry to hear about that.
I mean, based on what we've been hearing from various news articles about male-on-male rape, it isn't terribly surprising that her father would not have addressed this either prior to its occurrence or afterward. He was probably in some state of denial about it, you know, blocking out those bad memories and just never admitting to himself that he had been raped. There are some great step-parents out there. You know, I don't want to besmirch step-parents, but you really have to do your homework and, you know, analyze people, find out who they are and what they're really all about before you let them around your kids 24/7 unsupervised in the same way that a parent would be.
It's crazy. It's a crazy story.
I imagine that a lot of the reported rapes that they're discussing in these various news articles are from stepfathers. Step-uncle or uncles, as you pointed out. I don't know. That's it's distressing.
Where do you go from there?
I don't know. Most they say there's been significant attention paid to early experiences of childhood sexual violence and abuse over the last two decades, which is great. And teenage experience of violence, often termed dating violence or teen dating violence, has received much less attention. And this appears suddenly at the end of this independent article. These are not terms that I'm familiar with. I'm familiar with the idea of date rape and all of that. I'm a little fuzzy on what distinguishes it from a normal, I don't want to say normal rape, but a typical rape. Do either of you know?
It happens after a date? I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah. wouldn't just about any rape occur after some sort of date encounter?
I mean, it would seem like it's more highly likely to happen after a dating encounter.
Rape would be more likely to occur after a date? No, I don't think so at all.
But I mean,
I think if it's most likely to occur with a family situation,
well, yeah,
then
with
absolutely
family, no.
not.
Yeah.
And but I think that's how it's most likely to occur.
Violence is bad to use against other people when they do not want that violence used against them. You can't just say violence is bad because then Mike Tyson and all these other boxers who agreed to get into the ring and beat the crap out of each other are bad. So it's not necessarily violence. But yes, using aggression against people is bad. And however we define it, rape is going to fall under that category and just shouldn't be done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked to find that the numbers are as high as people are suggesting, especially in regard to male-on-male sexual rape. 1 in 10 not being reported, or only 1 in 10 are reported?
1 in 10 being reported, yeah. But we're not sure how many of them are. You know. Again, there's a bunch of question marks surrounding this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, if that's true, if only 1 in 10 are being reported, then that would mean that male rape, which is already the statistic says is 1 in 71,
mm-hmm.
would be 10 times higher, which would make
one in seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not that far off from the 1 in 5.
But then again, how do you define it, right? Like, I fooled around with my neighbor when I was probably like 10, and I define that as consensual activity. Other people insist I was taken advantage of and that I was raped.
Well, other people are stupid. I mean, you know whether or not you were raped.
That's what I think.
And if you say you weren't.
If it was fun, it wasn't rape.
I don't know if I would go that far.
Yeah, I think it's generally, I can't speak from experience because thankfully I've not been raped. But that doesn't sound like a fun thing.
You have a point.
Yeah.
Fine. If it was fun, it wasn't rape.
That's just one factor.
I still don't know if I want to say that so definitively, though. Because I just know somebody's going to be out there, are you saying X or Y? Or, something that we didn't actually say.
Are you saying
say?
You can't have fun while being raped? if you want to make that claim, we'd love to hear from you. 855-453. I'm going to go ahead and say, no, rape is not fun.
I think I would agree with that statement. I mean, there are people who role-play rapes and things like that, but that's consensual.
That's different. Yeah.
Gold has definitely been on the move recently, and there is no more secure investment historically. McIlvany ICA has been helping people take delivery of precious metals and find storage options for decades. They've helped thousands of investors with their precious metal IRAs. Call ICA today for your free portfolio review at 800-525-9556 or download their free report online at ICAGoldSilver.com to learn how you can double your gold and silver ounces even within an IRA. 800-525-9556, ICAGoldSilver.com.
Free Talk Live is now on more than 200 radio stations nationwide. We've had more than 18 million podcast downloads, and we claim millions of listens a month. We're a multimedia ad venue with print, email, web, and terrestrial radio marketing platforms. We strive to have ad packages that cater to advertisers big and small. Contact me today at mark@freetalklive.com to see what we can do for you. mark@freetalklive.com. If you're a local advertiser, contact this station. But if you can service a national audience, contact me, mark@freetalklive.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump's former campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, went before the House Judiciary Committee for what committee chair Jerry Nadler called the first impeachment hearing.
Lewandowski says all he would testify to is what was contained in the Mueller report.
I've been very candid and open about answering all questions about the campaign, and I will continue to do so. But at the direction of the council, they have exerted executive privilege, of which is not mine to waive.
Nadler says the administration has no legal basis to order him to assert executive privilege.
The White House has no authority, legal or otherwise, to give these orders.
Georgia Republican Doug Collins says the Democrats will likely never have the votes needed to impeach the president.
They have found 17 of them at least. The public has said they found a reason, which really don't have to, you know, any further, but they can't get the more on the floor to do this. So this is dragging this out.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 34 points, the Nasdaq up 32. This is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, that bada-boom, bada-bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, 855-450-3733. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
And Johnson.
And it's Ian.
And we're going to move on now to a conversation about debt and how evidently Gen Z, the newest generation, as it were, is already struggling with debt, according to studies, I guess. Ian, do you have that in front of you?
I do have it. But first, can we say thank you to tonight's amplifier?
Absolutely. That's going to be Farmer Garrick of Harvest and Blooms. I'm not
cool.
Sure. What, yeah. So
level?
He's a silver amplifier.
Excellent.
Which means he donates $5 per month. You can donate more if you want, but $5 is all that we ask. You can check that out at amp.freetalklive.com.
That helps us.
Yes, we use it to advertise, market, and promote the show, amp.freetalklive.com. And that's just to help us get onto more local radio stations throughout the country.
We got 200 plus right now.
We do. It's very awesome. It's an exciting time.
We can do 300, but it does take some, you know, money and take some effort, and your $5 a month can help us out. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get perks. You'll get access to the AMP chat rooms on our Discord servers. We get the AMP only Facebook group for those of you still hanging out on Facebook, and a few other perks as well. Just go to amp.freetalklive.com. But if you are in serious debt, then please enjoy the show for free. We don't want to be a part of your financial burdens here. There's a story from BuzzFeed News, or BuzzFeedNews.com is where this is coming from. Millennials.
Even though their logo is BuzzFeed.news.
It is, yeah. They probably have both.
That's
I imagine they have both of them. millennials. So this is actually about both millennials and Gen Z. And now, Aria, you are a millennial.
Yes.
Correct? Johnson and I are like the zennials. We're kind of the borderline in-betweens of the millennials and the Gen X. Like, I personally, I don't like generations. I think it's not fair to generalize people by, you know, oh, well, you were all born in this time frame, so you must have similarities.
Well, imagine me with the other millennials, with the Antifa and communist freaking Bernie Sanders supporting millennials, right?
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't like you very much once they heard you open your mouth.
Yeah, they don't like me. Yeah, they want me to close my mouth and sit down and shut up and let the white saviors speak for me.
So, you know, I don't like putting people into these categories, but at the same time, there are people in these categories, and there are things that are true about some of the people in these categories. Obviously, not this doesn't apply to everybody who's a millennial.
So, just a real quick side jaunt here. What was your first concert?
Megadeth.
See?
In the mid-90s. I feel Gen X.
I was just thinking like Gen X. I'm like, yeah, my first concerts were, you know, like Ozzy Osbourne and Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
So I think that throws us into the, like, you know, like, right?
I feel like I'm Gen X because I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and that was that time frame. And I don't remember what year it was.
But
it must have been like 1996.
Now, to be fair, most Gen X people, though, didn't really grow up focused on computers or the internet. So I feel like that's what separates me and makes me feel more like a Zennial, because I identify a lot with people from younger, you know, the younger generations, because I, even as maybe somebody who's Gen X, grew up way more focused on computers and the internet than my peers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dramatically so.
Sure.
Like, I was, you know, really young claiming, hey, your computers are going to be the future of everything. You guys better pay attention to this.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And my dad was a computer tech guy when I was growing up, so I learned how to build computers when I was pretty young.
Yeah, you and I both know how to, you know, build computers. And
we were streaming audio.
Internet radio, you know, in...
Right. Before it was cool.
2000, yeah. You know, early 2000s. You
before
know,
they had 90s. Podcasts, we were doing streaming audio 5 years before that.
Yeah, I started doing internet radio in the 90s, so that, you know, makes...
So did I, late 90s.
Yeah.
So millennials carry an average of $27,900 in debt, not including mortgages. Just leave that one out. According to new data released by Northwestern Mutual, but Gen Z is close behind them, the oldest of whom they say are now 22 years old. So Gen Zers are just starting to get out of college. They have an average debt of $14,700. Now, I mean, that must include college, right? Because, like...
I would imagine that...
Yeah?
That would be the only way that I would think that someone 18 through 22 could amass a $14,000 debt.
Well, they actually get into...
If not, like, a car note.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, I would say that, I've got close to that if I consider my car in there, but
you
I
gotta consider
have,
that.
But I also have assets that, you know... far outreach that, you know, so...
Yeah, so you have a debt, but you're not in debt.
And you're also not really a millennial.
True.
But they get into some of the sources of the debt here in a moment. So having a sizable debt at a young age is the new normal, according to Chantel Bonneau, who's a wealth management advisor at Northwestern Mutual. She says, quote, there are lots of people who exit school, and before they start their first job, they have debt. That's a different situation from 30 years ago. Millennials' main source of debt is credit card bills.
Ugh,
while Gen
the worst kind of debt.
Right. While Gen Z is student loans. In a previous poll by creditcards.com, 40% of millennials said the top reason they carry a credit card balance was daily expenses such as groceries, childcare, and utilities.
That right there, that's how you build up a $24,000 debt or whatever it was that said that millennials had.
$27,900.
Yeah. That's how you do it. Using it for daily expenses. If you don't have the money for it, then you don't need to buy it.
That's right.
Put it on your credit card when you don't have the money for it. How are you going to pay that credit card? You're not.
You're going to pay minimum payments. Yeah, you're going to pay the minimum payments, and you're going to be under that for the rest of your life.
One of the biggest things that I advise millennials to do that I think is a huge thing is to make sure that in your bank account that you don't consider $0 in your bank account $0. You need to redefine zero.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, so what I mean is that you should have a number in your bank account that is always increasing, right?
Mm.
That is what you consider to be zero. So
right,
let's say $500 or $1,000. Consider that to be zero. So if you have in a lot of cases, you know, I've seen, you know, people who have savings accounts, right? And it's like, oh, you have this savings account. Okay, great. You're getting this piddly interest rate, but then you're letting your main account fall to zero and then getting a $35 transaction fee or ATM, whatever the fee is. You know, you're getting crazy ATM fees because you're withdrawing money from your account and not keeping cash on hand or doing all these weird financial things that are costing enormous amounts of money, which you could just fix by instead of having, like, not, like, looking at investment instruments like savings accounts and the interest rates on those and not really taking the time to just sit down and not be afraid of and really approach the subject of money and just think about it for a little bit. Like, oh, how much are you actually making? Oh, how much am I actually losing in fees? Oh, how much am I spending on coffees per month or cigarettes or alcohol?
I'm
spending thousands and thousands of dollars on these things that maybe I could go without a little bit.
Right.
How much would I have?
See, what you're arguing, though, is what the Greek government did when they presented austerity to the public.
Sure.
Like, oh, you just have to lower your standard of living. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. I agree entirely. The issue here isn't that people aren't making enough money. It's that their expenses are too high.
That's right.
But it's hard to present that without sounding callous. Like, oh, well, just quit smoking, quit drinking, quit having friends, quit going out with people. That's callous.
I've heard people also...
It disregards the human element.
I've also heard a millennial accountant, I won't name, who has specifically said, like, attacked the idea that not going out and buying that coffee will make any difference. And like, oh, that coffee, like, oh, it's medical bills and, oh, this other debt and all these other things that are causing debts. But you think that not having this coffee will make an impact. Well, actually...
Wait, you're saying the accountant was saying, go have the coffee?
Yeah, go have the coffee. Don't worry about it. That's not really going to make that kind of a difference, and it's ridiculous.
It's going to make a huge difference.
It's ridiculous to say that it won't make a difference.
I have to agree with the accountant here, because somebody who's impulsive enough to spend, like, the last $4 they have on a cup of coffee is just going to find somewhere else to spend it if they don't. I mean,
well,
that's what people who live in poverty do.
But it's that mentality that is the
that's
problem.
What needs to change.
Right. Yeah.
And the only way you're going to change that is through the willpower of deciding that you need to change your habits. And
but that habit alone, if invested, could become a fairly substantial sum of money in a fairly short amount of time.
855-450-3733.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient and Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com, 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. Call in and talk about whatever you'd like. That number is 855-450-3733. If you're quick, you can still get on with us tonight. But with you tonight, it's Aria.
And Johnson.
And Ian.
And although we've been talking a bit about millennial debt and how people, really debt is a matter of expenses versus income. And too often people, they take the income side of things. Like, oh, no, we just need to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour or whatever, and that will lift all of these people out of poverty.
No, it won't.
No,
because their spending habits are to spend what they earn, so they'll just spend more.
Yeah, I'm from a family of these people in Mississippi. I've watched them do it my entire life. It doesn't matter. They could make $20,000 a month. They're going to spend it every single time. But let's go into the phones. We got the Liberty Advisor. Well,
Johnson had something, I think,
Just real quick, I wanted to drop in because we had said the thing about the coffee. And, so let's say you're a 20-year-old, you're a millennial, you're having a cup of coffee a day, and you think, oh, coffee can't make any difference. So let's break it down, according to this thing I found on Noteworthy. The average cost of a cup of coffee in North America is estimated at roughly $3, right? And it's actually probably more than that now and more at a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. This is coffee bought at somewhere like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah,
it's not coffee that you make in your home, which is going to be substantially cheaper.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, that's the thing, right? You could save a lot of money by not having this silly going out for coffee every day habit.
And you're not even talking about the time as well, right? You're
right.
Just talking about the money that you would spend going to Starbucks, but how much time does it take to actually get to Starbucks, wait in line,
gas.
Get served, the gas, then to get back to wherever it is you're going to go to.
Right. So That's we're cool. just doing just $3, assuming that you purchase a single cup of coffee a day over a period of 50 years, disregarding inflation, you would have spent approximately $54,750. Doesn't sound too bad, does it?
No, that sounds pretty bad.
That's a down payment on your house.
Over 50 years, though, it's really, you know, that's not necessarily that bad. But now let's compare that with the opportunity cost of investing $3 or $21 weekly, which is a pretty moderate amount of investing.
Well, this is also going to have to assume that the stocks or whatever you're investing in are going to actually hang around.
Sure.
So that are just going to be successful.
But there are plenty of index funds and things like that where you can generally get the average market return, and that's what this is. And the average market return is not great. But, okay, so $21 weekly over a period of 50 years at the average market return. Crunch the numbers this time, and the difference is a whopping $1.5 million for
and
your coffee habit.
That presumes you didn't put any of it into cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Then you may be talking about $1 billion or something like that.
So let's get to the Liberty Advisor. The Liberty Advisor, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. This is Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor. I wanted to call in to talk about the Federal Reserve, but I am a certified financial planner that is also a millennial, so maybe I can talk a couple things about this, too.
Oh, please.
So just by coincidence, I'm getting ready. I've been doing all my compliance for my website, so that way I can start advertising with you guys. And part of that was I have a website called millennialinvestorblog.com that I need to take down, and I actually just sent my website guy a message to take it down. So if you want to go to it right now, it's probably going to be taken down tomorrow because there's some compliance. It's tied to my old company. Anyways.
Sorry, podcast listeners.
Yeah, sorry, podcast listeners. But anyways, one thing that I have on there, it shows that if someone were to invest $5,000 a year from the age of 18 to 26 and never invest again, and then you have investor B that starts at age 26 and contributes $5,000 a year all the way through age 65, assuming they both earn 8% per year, investor A, who never contributed again after the age of 26, would actually have slightly less money than investor B. And one person had to invest $45,000 and the other invested $200,000. So that's just the power of compounding money. And I've got some other videos on there. But that was
$5,000 a year, speaking of habits, I mean, that's like just over a pack a day cigarette habit, you know?
Right.
Like that's, I mean, it's not, these are things that people can change, whether it's the coffee habit or a cigarette habit.
It's more like a 3-pack-a-day cigarette habit. Really?
Nah, 2 packs. I mean, 1369 is 5,000, 365 and a 5,000. So that's $14 a day.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just sort of a coincidence that I just that I logged on and that's what you guys were talking about because I wasn't listening earlier. But what I did want to talk about was the Federal Reserve this morning had to inject $53 billion into the market. And what happened last night is that the banks were paying up to 10% to borrow money overnight last night. And the very first time Ian ever interviewed me at Anarchapoco in 2018, within 2 minutes of the interview, I said the big thing to watch out for, and just to preface this, is that I think the market should be setting interest rates. There shouldn't even be a Federal Reserve. I think we're all on the same page with that. But eventually, I said the trigger was going to be when the Federal Reserve lost control, where it doesn't matter that they have a 2% Fed funds rate if the market is dictating 8% or 10%. So what happened this morning is that there was companies that were paying, banks that were paying 10% last night to borrow money overnight.
Now, what does that mean?
What
caused this to happen? What was the catalyst that caused these businesses to just suddenly need money so desperately that they were willing to pay that sort of interest rate?
It's still sort of up in the air because it only happened this morning, but the speculation is that there were some of these big banks and institutions that were on the wrong side of the oil trade. So what they were, so when oil went up, shot up 20% over the weekend, if you were short oil and all of a sudden, you know, you were highly leveraged up to the hilt, and now all of a sudden you had to come up with a whole bunch of money to meet your reserve requirements, you're willing to pay whatever it takes to meet those requirements because otherwise you can go out of business. So backing things up, the banks are required to keep a certain amount of money on hand overnight. Some banks have more and they lend it back. Other banks have less and then they need to borrow some money. Generally speaking, you don't want to go to the Federal Reserve, at least before 2008, because it was seen as a big no-no. Now in a post-2008 world, sort of all of that has gone to you-know-what. And last night, there was companies that were willing to pay, banks that were willing to pay 8 to 10% in order to meet the reserve requirements. And the only reason they were willing to do that is because they had to do that. So if you can only borrow money at 8%, that's the cheapest money you're going to get. And so this morning, the Fed came in with over $53 billion. The New York Fed came in, that is, and had to basically save, in air quotes, the overnight repo market, which it's crazy because last week you could borrow money for 30 years at under 2%, but now the banks, which are supposed to be, you know, the safest, and again, air quotes, they were charging each other 10% to borrow money last
week. So I'm just trying to understand this. I'm not a financial expert at all, and a lot of this is like Greek to me, dude. You're saying that these banks are required, because they're essentially franchises of the Federal Reserve, to borrow a certain amount of money to have on hand. If they don't have it, they have to borrow it from the Federal Reserve, and they just got jacked on the rates from 2% going up to like 8 or 10%?
Well, they don't have – well, the thing is, borrowing from the Federal Reserve is like the last thing a lot of these banks want to do, because it puts a big stigma on them. So what they do is they borrow money from each
from
other.
From each other. Oh,
which
okay.
Which generally is the same rate as the Fed funds rate, or about that. But last night there was a big liquidity event, which was probably
– isn't that like the definition of a circle jerk?
Sounds like it, yeah. But now, does this mean
that it's craziness? Yeah.
But are you saying, though, that this is going to mean higher interest rates for the consumer if they go in and get a loan this week or next week or something like that? Like, how does this shake out for the average person?
Well, what this means on a longer time horizon, yeah, I mean, in the short term, yes, but with the Fed stepping in and basically manipulating the market, what this means is that the quantitative easing is about to start back up. Two weeks ago, the Fed's funds, the Federal Reserve balance sheet actually increased. And so last year, I was screaming. I mean, really the last 2 years. I mean, as of October, last October, the Fed was thinking that they were going to be selling $50 billion a month off their balance sheet, and they were telling us everything was going to be great. And now, not only are they not selling $50 billion a month, they're borrowing. They injected $53 billion in one day, not over a month, in one day.
And that's printing money. You're saying when you say they injected $53 billion, you mean they increased the money supply by $53 billion in one day.
Yeah, I mean, more or less, yeah. I mean, that's just the kind of like the cliff notes of it. But yeah,
well, that's what we got to have, man. Yeah. I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm sure many of our audience isn't either. So the more that we can break this down to be as understandable as possible, I feel like I might have some grasp on what you just told us at this point. But I'm still, I don't really
all
know.
All the more reason to use cryptocurrency.
That's going
to
print more money. The Fed's going to print more money, and this is only the beginning, is the cliff note.
So you're saying look out. If you're in dollars, maybe put some something into some precious metals, maybe put something into cryptocurrencies. So you just muted him so he can't answer that question. But presumably that's what he's saying. Thank you for the call, Tim Pichot. He's the Liberty Advisor, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again.
Very cool. Hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out the website, which you can find at freetalklive.com. It's got archives going back 10 years, as he was saying earlier, before podcasting was even a thing. So go check that out. Again, that's freetalklive.com. And we'll be back same time tomorrow. Tomorrow, same night, same time, all 7 nights a week.
Do you have a crypto wealth advisor or coach? If so, has your cryptocurrency advisor been investing in technology stocks for over 20 years? Have they left the corporate world and retired? Or are they still trying to make a weekly paycheck? Have they produced six-figure results for their customers in the past 30 days? And very importantly, are they a member of the Digital Currency Council? Seth Maniscalco is the founder of Crypto Wealth Coach and CryptoWealthCoach.com. Seth invested in his first Roth IRA at 19 years old while living abroad, and has been investing in Wall Street and technology for over 20 years with experience in all the money markets. By comparison, so many of these so-called crypto gurus have barely been alive for 20 years. Seth has not only experienced personal success from his own investments in crypto, he has also helped his clients earn six- and seven-figure incomes, including helping investors make over $750,000 in EOS in 90 days and 1,225% in only 5.5 months with Chainlink. Seth has helped for the small do-it-yourself guy on up to crypto whales. Increase your wealth. Visit CryptoWealthCoach.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.